The rally's been called because of the government's decision to demolish 44 towers, and this happens to be one of them. Well, this is one of four here, which has been renovated by Mr. Wynne when he was planning minister a few years back. And I believe that no tower should be demolished. And where are these people going to go? This is, you know, that's one of the reasons why we want to explain to the people why they're doing it, and if they've got any questions or any, so that we can all rally together and stop this chaotic, greedy government.
So you think it's because it's such prime land? I mean, it's a lovely time at the
it's
moment.
Beautiful. All the green open space will disappear because it'll be double the amount of people that the private enterprise will put up, and all these people will be disadvantaged and be thrown out to God knows where they're going to go, where they put them.
I was reading a book that said that at Christmas time, anything that's bad seems extra bad, and when it's good, it seems extra good. And I suppose that's one of the reasons why it was a good idea to have a rally today, because people must be quite scared.
Oh, well, you know, these people are very scared here, and they don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So it's their livelihood, their communities will be broken and everything. So it's a terrible time of the year for them.
So you're a councillor.
Yes.
You obviously had no information about this.
Absolutely no information whatsoever. It just came out of the blue and it was announced.
Now, I know this government also has been working to try and get local councillors and noses out of developments like this.
Well, they could say whatever they like, you know, council. We represent the people. I was voted in by the people, and I will look after the people's interests, not council's interests.
So this is the beginning of a campaign?
Correct, yes. A good campaign, hopefully. A couple of the councillors will be here shortly. And Anna Mohammed, she'll be here shortly. And Bridget O'Brien, she'll be here as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Could you talk to my listeners a little bit about what's going on here, Bridget?
This is another rally that we're holding, or a gathering, to discuss the proposed demolition of the 44 housing towers across all of Victoria, 11 or 12 of which are actually in the city of Yarra. I think the residents are really concerned about it because people just received a flyer in their letterboxes or so on, and that's the only thing they heard about it. No public meetings were held, nothing like that. Obviously, people who live in these towers have communities amongst themselves and are a very important part of the broader Yarra community. But at any rate, the real concern, I think, for many of the residents is where will they be displaced to? Where will they be going? Will they be going as a whole community or not? And will anyone be able to come back to live where they previously had and have established roots? And that's a much bigger issue for the broader community as well, because obviously the residents that live in these towers really contribute significantly to the broad diversity that is so special about what makes Yarra so special.
It's interesting too that this is a really lovely space, and obviously the governments have had their eye on this land for quite a while, and they've been shoved off a couple of times. Also, the state government has tried to pass legislation, or has passed legislation, trying to get local councillors' noses out of this kind of business. What's your view on this?
I think councillors, as the true representatives of the local community, the elected representatives, actually do have a part to play in all matters around planning issues. I mean, obviously, we're the closest arm of government to the community. The community talks to us extensively about what sort of development they want in their municipalities, and also are the experts on our streets, so basically know the streets better than anyone, and therefore, you know what would be appropriate for the particular community. And in terms of things like amenity, public transport, all of that sort of stuff, often when big developments happen, like what happened at the Amcor site, there's very little public transport for all those people that have moved into that site, for example. So, you know, they're things that local government knows a lot about.
No, it's interesting because at the Collingwood rally that preceded this, they were talking about 10,000 people being displaced And we're in a housing shortage. The government's public-private enterprise arrangements around development of housing stock really hasn't worked.
I agree with you, and I think that is one of the major concerns, is what will be happening on these housing estates. Will it be privatised? I mean, I think it is. Will it mean the end of public housing as we know it? I mean, that's a huge concern, I think, for our whole community.
Good afternoon. My name's Troy, and I was delivering pamphlets about this rally the other day, and there was a lady that was in one of the flats here, and she was very concerned and she's from the Horn of Africa, this lady, and she was very concerned that if the houses get pulled down or the flats get pulled down, that she was going to go like into an internment camp. Bizarre. And I assured her that will not happen. But because she's come from a war-torn country, she's come over here. That's where we need some clarity. We need some clarity from the government. You know, what's going on? Where are these people going to go if the places do get pulled down? What are they going to go up to this place in Mickleham or whatever? You know, and it's just the mental health.
It's interesting that a government can just decide that it's going to do this against all the community representations.
Now, isn't it quality of life? That, you know, that you've got a house, you know, when you lock your door, when you turn your key, you're safe. And when you've got people doing this, that's very frustrating.
Well, yeah, I might have some interesting points because I grew up in commission housing. I grew up in commission housing my whole life. My family's from Iraq and we were displaced by war. There was also, you know, family issues. So we had to live in, refuges for about 7 years. And the big problem about that was settling. We were constantly moved around. Went to five primary schools when I was younger, so I never made any friends. It was hard to kind of have any kind of development at all. So I had a learning disability, which is directly linked to being moved around so much. And what I could see happening with this, if all these people here, so many people who are the backbone of the community, get displaced, it's gonna not only displace the community, the people we rely on here, you know, the hospitality workers, the people, like, because this is literally these towers is what
a village, a town, right?
It is. And without these people, you'll notice that staff will start disappearing, people will go, like, you know, the area will get worse. It'll actually get worse by moving these people out, because they'll move out to other areas. And they'll try to get their footing again, just like I did when I grew up, and I couldn't get my footing because I was getting, you know, I was moving from place to place, and eventually things like that became started becoming drug and alcohol abuse issues, and you know, behavioural issues and things like that. And that's exactly what's going to happen to these people if they get displaced. And I've seen it, and I'm a living example of it. The people that have lived here for over, you know, 30, 40, 50 years have made this community, and the people who come in and want to move into this community because it's got something that they don't see, that the community hasn't got, well, they don't realise what they're actually doing to the community by coming in and gentrifying it. They're actually changing the culture of the community, and they'll turn around one day and realise within themselves what they've done to the area, and then they'll probably just try to move somewhere else and do the same thing somewhere else because they'll like what another area looks like. You know, that's what gentrification is. It's people constantly not happy where they are, so they just want to move somewhere else with where the sprawl is, and they don't really care about the people they displace in the process.
I'm from 3CR, and I mean, if you want to, you could translate what she wants to tell me, but I'm keen to find out why people are here and how you're feeling about the announcement that the state government made about the towers.
Because they have the sense that tomorrow could be out in the streets again. This is the main reason. And it's a reason of mortality and how ethical it is. That's all.
So how long have you guys been here?
1.5 years.
Okay, and so this was a great to have stability.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a life's plan, actually. And a major help for people that they don't have a roof over their head. Yeah.
Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
Thanks for talking to me.
No problems. How are you?
Good. How are you feeling about what's going on and why have you come out here?
Well, I've come out here to give support to the push to have them not knocked down. There's some pretty strong communities here, the people that rely on each other being so close to one another. And I'm just a bit concerned everyone's going to be scattered to the winds a bit. As well as, there is the option that you could, that like the promise that you might get a better place, some place with an outdoor space or a balcony or something like that. But I think you can always transfer if that's what you want to do. You know, they should knock down these flats because it's a really strong community here.
Yeah, and also you could have maybe, is a promise, and they haven't actually been that good at keeping their promises.
Yeah, that's what my mum said, not to worry that they might not knock them down anyway, because they never stay true to their promises anyway. But yeah, aren't we supposed to be in a housing shortage at the moment? Why would you want to get rid of all these these buildings with there's apartments that don't have people living in them up here? So, I mean, like maybe we should think about working towards capacity before we start knocking buildings down and being worried about not being able to house the people that we do have out there.
Also, the cost, the rental, private rental, it's too high.
It is a bit, and like in the sense that there's a rebate and it pays a certain portion of your rent. But if you earn more, then you get basically the rebate disappears and the rent goes up to about $350 a week. I think even more, maybe. I'm not sure, but that's the last time I checked. If you're trying to get ahead out there, that doesn't really help.
It also seems funny to me that there's all this rebate given straight over to private real estate or house owners, you know, that are renting out. Why not have public housing?
That sounds like a good idea to me.
It's subsidising lazy capitalists.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, we used to have a really strong public support system in Victoria, and we've been chipping away at it for years. And, you know, it's cheaper not to run a profit than it is to run a profit. So I don't understand why you would want to have a whole bunch of private organisations running your public sphere.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's great to see you here. You're here because you believe that we, your councillors, will be able to help you stay in your homes, and we hope you're right. Your local language ward councillor.
Hello. Go for it. First of all, I would like to say thank you for all coming. I think there's a lot of people that are still coming, but I think they're late with timing. But that being said, I know there's a lot of people that don't know their rules or regulations when it comes to housing. The fact is no one can move you out unless you really want to. Secondly, if they're saying that they're going to distract their public housing, where's the homeless people? Why don't we fix the homeless issue first? Why are we seeing people sleeping on the streets? So in order for us to believe you, you have to be able to show us something believable. Get rid of the housing issue, homeless people first, give them housing, then the people that have been on the priority list for over 10 years, make sure that you sort them out too. Then after that, take care of the rental crisis that you're having with private housing. Then after that, maybe you can come. By that time, I'm hoping they'll find a solution to public housing. Then after that, it will take them maybe a few years. We'll maybe be able to believe them. But till then, I suggest for everybody to hold tight. Don't move out. Don't let them scare you. There's nothing wrong with these buildings. They're pretty fine. And I'll just encourage everyone to know their rules. If they don't, come to your local councillor, one of your representatives, whether it's your MPs or the federal government, send emails, ask questions of what your rights are. Until then, just stay true to who you are, stay true to your house. This is a community that we'll never ever get. I love this community myself. I feel like they became my family. So I will not want to move out of here unless they give me something that's stable. And the reason why we're all here is because it's very stable. Stability is what everyone's looking for. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Annette.
Yeah. And Gabrielle will be speaking up soon. We have Gabrielle here. So would you like to join us, Gabrielle?
Sure.
Yep, please.
When it comes to public housing, there's a lot to get angry about because there are 125,000 people waiting for a home on the public housing waiting list. And that waiting list grows by about 10,000 people every year. And this Victorian Labor government's plan, instead of building more public housing for the people that need it, their plan is to demolish 7,000 homes and displace more than 10,000 people. Boo! That to me is not a plan, that is a housing disaster. That is going to make the housing crisis worse for everyone. It's going to make it harder for everyone to find a home. And when they move people out of public housing, they tell you, don't worry, you can return. Don't worry, you'll be paying the same rent. Don't worry, you'll be secure where you are now. Well, I know people who live in these towers who have been moved only months ago from the other towers that they've demolished, and they're moving them yet again. And I know people who have been moved into so-called social housing, and they end up paying private rates for rent, and they end up with a short-term lease and no security. I know that this government will promise you things through the nose. They will tell you whatever they need to tell you to get you out, because all they see is the value of this land. They see money. They see gifts for developers, because that's how they win the next election. That's how they hold on to power.
Yeah, they brother, you regret with the Collingwood Town Hall when you're about to get the permit that you didn't authorise.
For the private.
Yeah, what happened then?
So that was 200 homes, 160 of which were going to be private apartments. Private market rate apartments on a piece of public land. There was going to be a small handful that were going to be community housing, but no public housing. I do not regret turning that down, because that was a scam. It was a scam like this is a scam, 100%. This government is scamming us out of land because they see value and they want to give this land away to developers. In Fitzroy, in Collingwood, in Richmond, in North Melbourne, in Carlton, this is valuable inner city land. But I say you have just as much a right to live here as the person next to you. And we will fight to keep public housing on public land and to make sure that you have the quality of life that everyone deserves, with open space, with well-maintained public housing, with the amenities and the facilities that you need, with air conditioning. I mean, how long has it been since you've been sweltering in those apartments? And two summers ago, the government promised air conditioning, and where is that air conditioning? So the Greens and I have been fighting in Parliament and on the ground to make sure that Labor does not sell off your land, tear down your home, and rip apart your communities. And Alina, put your hand up, has started a petition. And this, many of you will have signed this petition. This is not just any ordinary petition, this is a parliamentary petition. And it's really powerful because if we get 2,000 paper signatures, so signatures on paper, it means that we can force the Labor government to a 90-minute debate in Parliament about this project. We can force them to answer our questions. We can force them to stand up and try and justify why they are selling off your homes. And you can hold them to account. Every person who signs this petition will be invited to come into Parliament on that day and look their parliamentarians in the eye when they say that they're tearing down your homes, and listen to how they lie through their teeth about their plans. We will fight with you to save your homes, and I think we can win. I think we can win because we've won before. We have saved this land from private developers before. We've saved Clifton Hill. We've saved Collingwood from their basketball courts and their children's playground being built over for private apartments. And I know that we can do it again. This community is incredibly strong. I've seen how powerful you are, and it will take all of us, the whole community, to fight against this. So I want you not only to put your name down here, but if you think that you can get signatures from your friends and family, then I want you to take a page as well and give me your contact details and bring it back to my office. My office is on Gertrude Street. I'm your representative in the State Parliament, by the way. I should have introduced myself. I'm Gabrielle. So I'm in Parliament, but I'm not with the Labor government. I'm a Greens representative. There are eight of us, and we are all fighting really hard to stop the government from demolishing and privatising this land.
Has there been a feasibility done for safety? Is there any contaminants or asbestos in the properties in the
In these properties here, there has been no feasibility study done to justify the demolition. So that's one of the things that we've asked them. We've done a what's called a docs motion in one of the chambers, which is basically forcing them. They've got 30 days to produce documents. It's like an FOI, and they haven't produced them yet. But I think the date is coming soon. So we've got that coming up. We've got lots of questions that we've asked them where they've got a timeline where they have to answer. Of course, they really just cut and paste from their media releases, but we keep the pressure on.
They've always said there might be asbestos in them.
There's no asbestos.
They were built in the 60s, that's all.
They're very solidly built, and we're getting independent architects to do a study, because we had that study done, and Margaret is one of our community champions who was an absolute pillar of the Barrack Beacon estate in South Melbourne, who held on till the very last moment and stopped those bulldozers till the very last moment. That land is now flattened. Those buildings were solid, and we had evidence that it was feasible and cheaper and better to refurbish and renovate those apartments rather than knock them down. These public housing towers are solid buildings, and we know that they will last long into the future. Of course, they need to be maintained, but every building does. And yeah, so we'd like to see a feasibility study. And you know, there might be justification.
Yeah.
There might be justification to build new public housing, but we want to see that justification on a case-by-case basis, not an excuse to tear down public housing and replace it with three times the amount of private housing.
If you've got any questions, we'll just go around
a member of Socialist Alliance and also part of the Save Public Housing Collective. We can fight this. And we might have to start small, but we can fight it. And it's not just any one estate, there's 44 estates. But most people don't know each other on the estate, so people are a bit isolated from each other. And I think we need to link up all of our struggles and our battles,
yes,
so that we can be really strong. And if people decide collectively that we're not going to move out, they can't move hundreds or thousands of people out. They can move one or two out, or even 10 or 20, but they can't move 1,000 or several hundred people out if they don't want to. But the only way we can get to that point is if tenants have the power, the broader community has the power, people in other public housing has the power, and we all need to get to know each other and build a strong and united campaign. And the Save Public Housing Collective, which has I think been in existence since the Walker Street estate was threatened with demolition, then demolished, and I hadn't really been, I've been involved in public housing activism against the demolition of the walk-ups, but this campaign group has got a whole lot of new people wanting to fight the demolition of the high-rise. And so I've actually got a contact list here. If anyone wants to stay in touch, just stay in touch, because we don't want to take over from, if people want to organise their own actions on estates, we don't want to take over from anyone. We just want to support what anyone's doing. But we're all non-profit. We're not government. We're not funded by anyone. It's just people after work or after school or whatever. But we really do want to public housing tenants from the different estates to be able to meet up, so that we can swap experiences and we can fight back. And we don't have lots of resources, but we had what Harold mentioned earlier, a meeting of about 70 people on the Flemington estate just a few weeks back, and people voted on a motion to oppose the demolitions and the sell-offs. And we'll probably have a rally on the Flemington estate early next year sometime, no details set for it. But it's going to be really, and the three first estates that are going to be there's probably five estates going to be bulldozed first. Two in Carlton, which they've already cleared everybody out, although there was a couple of people who tried to fight to the end, but they were just themselves. But then the next three that have got people living in them is Alfred Street in North Melbourne, 120 Racecourse Road in Flemington, and Holland Court in Flemington. So those are the first three that are going to be under attack. But we all need to support each other and really try to...
Have you a website that we can look at? Or if you could,
what, sorry?
A website?
Yeah, Daniel's...
I'll bring up a QR code.
Yeah, Daniel's got... it's called...
So we can come to the march.
Yeah, Save Public Housing Collective. And I've got a contact list, but also we've got a Facebook page, an Instagram page, and a website, a blog site. Yeah.
Save Public Housing.
Yeah, Save Public Housing Collective. And on Facebook, I think it says The Save Public Housing Collective. Sometimes that can foxy having the word "the" in front. But anyway, stay in touch, because we really, that's really what we've got to do. And the government hasn't provided any evidence that they're relying on people just trusting the government, that the building's old, therefore they need to come down. But in France, there was a public housing campaign to stop the government tearing down high-rise flats like these. And there was a big campaign, stop the government doing that. And their architects who refurbish one flat at a time. So people just move out of their flat and move back after a few days. Now, so that is possible. Even they put, you know, little balconies on the outside of the building. So it is possible.
To do that,
yeah.
More environmentally
efficient. So this is possible. And I don't believe any of the government saying, oh, their plus are used by date unless they provide the evidence. So, and I think they haven't provided the evidence, which indicates to me that it's really about selling off to private developers. And this is a part of the whole privatisation agenda that began in the 80s, which affected all our services, not just public housing, but that this is all part of that push. But anyway, we need to resist, and the only way we can resist is coming together. And we don't have lots of resources, but we can work with what we've got. And we've got some great activists from different public housing campaigns. And, different public housing campaigns that have come together. And also we've got the Save Technopark crew here as well.
Yeah. Let's take a photo before people start dwindling away. And I reckon if we have that building in the background...